How does Christianity compare with Islam, Mormonism, skepticism, Buddhism, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other world religions? You'll find answers in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about The Christian Difference at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Christian Difference.
The day I started to stop being a feminist was the day I saw, you know, the positive pregnancy test.
Now in the 21st century, if you want terrorism, you go to Islam. That's where you find it.
Sexuality and the practice of sexual intercourse implies commitment and fidelity.
We don't preach the gospel to people to make them comfortable with sin. We preach it to comfort them when they sin.
Radio operators, commercial and amateur alike, just love Issues Etc.
It's going to be a little difficult in 2019 for the mainstream media covering probably, well, what will be, with its connections and its context, a very big religion news story, the Vatican Summit on Clergy Abuse. And just recently, things made a little more complicated by the resignation of the director and the vice director of the Vatican's press office. Are these two stories related? Is there some anticipation of what this next month summit at the Vatican might actually mean for the Vatican itself? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. back live on this Thursday afternoon, January the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate about media coverage of the resignation of the director of the Holy See Press Office and next month's Vatican Summit on the clergy abuse scandal. We'll also be looking forward to the Epiphany of Our Lord right after that with Pastor David Peterson. And then we'll get a review of the movie Aquaman. Pastor Ted Geese will be our guest. The New York Times did not like this movie, kind of made fun of it. We'll see what Ted thinks about it in the last half hour of the program. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about media coverage of the resignation of the director of the Holy See's press office and next month's Vatican Summit on Clergy Sexual Abuse, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So are the two stories related, the resignation of Greg Burke and also of his assistant there, Paloma Oviero, also they resigned at the same time, and the upcoming summit?
There's really no way to know the answer to that, yet the assumption of almost every single thing I've read online about the two events does connect them. And the common thesis, well, let me give you two statements of it. One is by our mutual friend, Rod Dreher, who tweeted out the other day, "I think the resignation is less because Burke is American and more that he's a media professional whose background is in reporting, not PR. Burke might have feared becoming the kind of person that real journalists hate." In other words, if you were handed one of the biggest events in the world and a primary part of your job was preventing the coverage of it, wouldn't that put you in an awkward position? That's kind of thesis number one. The second is from a must-read article at Commonweal that I put out earlier today. I put up an aggregation pointing people toward it. It's a piece by one of their regular contributors named Paul Moses. And toward the end of it, he kind of looks at this through the lens that everybody's going to want to use, because, you know, we're into labels and things have to be liberals versus conservatives, black hats versus white hats. He says that the sudden departures of these two men, quote, are being dissected through the usual anti-Francis ideological monocle used to view Vatican developments, especially since Burke's role as a numerary member of Opus Dei gives him cred as a Catholic conservative. But I would look at it through a different lens. As an American, Burke was an outsider in an insider's job, fluent in Italian, but not necessarily in the level of nuance employed in Vatican speak. The Vatican culture of caution and cover-up did not suit him. When you get to the end of that, he adds some other color there, but basically agrees with the same point that Rod Dreher made, which is he didn't want to be wearing the PR man's suit at this upcoming convention. Maybe he knew how it was going to come out. I'm sure that's a question that he could not afford to answer. Maybe he knew who the people running the event would really be, and he knew he couldn't cooperate with them. That would be another reality. As we, you know, things are not always completely in the control of the Pope, as we could see by what we know now about a lot of things that happened in the era of St. John Paul II, and to a lesser extent in the age of Benedict. If we've learned anything from the last year, it's the importance of some of the networks of connected bishops, cardinals, archbishops, seminary leaders, etc., and kind of how they have to work together to protect their interests. We live in a sinful, fallen world, and anyone who's active in a church is well aware of that.
What does the media do? Maybe I'm oversimplifying, but it seems they might find themselves between a rock and a hard place, because this isn't good press for anybody, including Francis. But speaking of black and white hats, the media generally wants to put the white one, figuratively and literally, on Francis's head. But he is synonymous in some ways with the Vatican, at least past popes may have been.
Yeah, I really see a kind of interesting trend here right now, where the irony is that the story you know is safer than the story you don't know from the perspective of leaders of the church at this point. And the story they know and the story that everyone's talking about and we see the headlines is framed consistently as the problem of priests abusing children. And that wording is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. That's why a couple of months ago, I sat down, because I had all kinds of people asking me, and I think we've discussed this on the air one other time in an earlier broadcast and podcast. I finally sat down and wrote out what I think the big issues are in this story. So maybe I could repeat those for you right now.
Sure.
And I'd stress that this, I wrote these three after reviewing material from people I have interviewed through the years, both on the Catholic left, as in the late Richard Sipe, one of the key activists featured in his voice shows up several places in the famous, justifiably famous, in my opinion, movie Spotlight, and also a Catholic academic, Father Donald Cousins, the author of a book on the future of the priesthood that set everybody abuzz way over a decade ago with his very candid talk about the role of homosexuality in Roman Catholic academic and ecclesiastical networks. And then a conservative, an investigator and academic named Leon Podels. One of my principles as a journalist when covering a story as complex and nuanced in this as this one, and I would stress again, a story in which there are plenty of buried skeletons, closets, buried body, mix the metaphors however you want it. There's a lot of bad stuff in hiding on both the Catholic left and the right. So anyway, looking back through my material through the years with Sipe, Cousins, and Podels, I came up with the following three. This is in order of importance. Number one, the key to the scandal is secrecy, violated celibacy vows, and potential blackmail. Lots of Catholic leaders, left and right, gay and straight, have sexual skeletons in their closets, often involving sex with consenting adults. These weaknesses, past and or present, create a climate of secrecy in which it's hard to crack down on crimes linked to child abuse. So in other words, the child abuse scandal and the hiding of the priest involved in it that's often related to the fact that other people are not in a position to judge because they know their own secrets can be yanked out, even if those secrets involve consensual sex outside of their vows. Okay, number two, classic pedophiles tend to strike children of both genders. However, in terms of raw statistics, most child abuse cases linked to the Catholic clergy are not true cases of pedophilia, but are examples of ephebophilia, intense sexual interest in post-pubescent teens or those on the doorway of the teen years. The overwhelming majority of these clergy cases are adult males with young males. How often in this coverage have you seen it mentioned that a young boy is first seduced, courted, wooed, set up right at the age of about 11 or 12 and then is sexually abused on into his pubescent teen years? So then point number three, one of the biggest secrets hiding in the bitter fog from all of these facts is the existence of powerful networks of sexually active gay priests with many powerful predators. McCarrick, a former cardinal, Ted McCarrick, is a classic example. Based at seminaries and in ecclesiastical offices, thus these men have extraordinary power in shaping the lives of future priests. Now, if you accept my premises there with those three points, you could see that what the public should expect to see out of this big event is lots and lots of talk about preventing child abuse. Child abuse is the story we know, and that, in a bizarre way, makes it the safe story.
Hmm.
Do you see that?
That's crazy.
But it's safer than the other stories, which actually concern the protection of the priests and bishops who hid them. And it's that protection that then gets you back to the issue that I tried to point out right up front, which is that the secret of this whole thing is secrecy. It's like a matryoshka doll in Russia, where you pull the layers off and you go deeper into the scandal and deeper into the scandal and deeper into the scandal. And at the inside is the central issue of secrecy and a wide variety of violated vows and, like I said, potential blackmail. It's hard to crack down on a crime or a sin if there are people you know can pull your own out into public. Does that make sense?
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about media coverage of the resignation of the director of the Holy See's press office and next month's Vatican Summit on clergy sexual abuse. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Lynn at 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2019. Call Lynn today, 618-223-8385. Thanks for your support.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of the resignation of the director of the Holy See Press Office and next month's Vatican Summit on clergy sexual abuse. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate in the book Pop Goes Religion, and founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, what you were saying before the break, I find intriguing. And tell me if I'm misreading you or saying too much. It sounds like what you're saying is that the Vatican will be happy to talk about preventing child sexual abuse. And, you know, with the cameras rolling, they'll be happy to do that. Maybe even a few mea culpas, which have been very, very rare, if in evidence at all. As long as they don't have to talk about something far more fundamental to the very structure of the organization at this point, which is its penchant, its addiction to secrecy on all fronts.
On a variety of sexual fronts. I'm not sure I would use the word happy. There's a saying in Washington that when presented with a problem, you hang a lantern on it. You want to be the person who provides the sound bites and the story angles that must be covered so that you get to define the problem. Well, that's precisely what I'm saying here. I'm expecting potentially even some amazing visuals to come out of the conference. I mean, cardinals on their faces in penitence. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. Could you imagine the media coverage of a moment of a row of victims sitting in chairs and Pope Francis and several cardinals going before them one at a time and prostrating themselves and asking for their forgiveness? You think that'd make the evening news?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But at the same time, As valid as that might be, as valid as litanies of repentance would be, and I'm all for that in this case, do you see how all of that media attention on this extremely big spectacle would be great for deflecting the fact that they still haven't approved a policy on how to discipline bishops, archbishops, and cardinals, which seem to be at the heart of the recent showdown between some key American leaders and the Vatican in terms of whether the U.S. bishops were going to create a policy in which lay people were involved in hearing materials related to the discipline of bishops. And, you know, that was yanked off the table, and that's supposed to come up now in a global context at this upcoming super summit. Yet at the same time, it also prevented it from happening. It would have put Rome in a bad position if the U.S. bishops were suddenly on the record as saying the same kind of laity-centered or cooperative panels that have outed a lot of the abusing priests, that same kind of system should be applied to the prelates and the shepherds at the top of the hierarchy. Now, there is a sincere problem here, and that is that under Catholic canon law, who gets to discipline bishops? Rome alone, which means allowing lay people into that process cuts some of Rome's ability to deal directly with bishops, archbishops, and cardinals, and kind of make a decision about which ones Rome wants to bring down and discipline or throw out, and which ones maybe they don't. That's really kind of black ops, dark arts to some degree, but that's what people are talking about here. I summed all of this up in a piece that I wrote for Get Religion by asking what I've already heard from several people saying, gosh, what a nasty little question. What did you mean by it? You know, what would Jesus do? The wristbands and all that. Going into this meeting and looking at the Burke situation, the press office situation, I suggested that reporters simply ask the following questions. If this man were still in a position of power, if he was still cardinal in Washington, D.C., if he was involved in the planning for this event, what would Ted McCarrick do? In other words, if you get in the TARDIS, if you get in the Doctor Who machine and go back 15 years, 10 years, back to the age when Uncle Ted is being followed around by reporters and is in a position to drive the press coverage of a major event, what would Ted McCarrick do in that circumstance? Well, here you go. Here's what he would do based on what he did back then. One, he would strongly back in words whatever Rome and the Pope said. He would enthusiastically support whatever came out of Rome. Even in his case, if that was a conservative such as St. Pope John Paul II and or Benedict, he would publicly stand up at the microphones and affirm it and affirm it and affirm it with his words. Then he would, in his actions, do everything to protect his friends and to protect the networks that are at the heart of his power and his clout. And thus, he would encourage the press to follow the old story and not ask any questions about the new ones. In other words, go with what's in front of you. Don't ask questions about the machinery behind it, because the machinery behind it is bishops, archbishops, and cardinals. What would Ted McCarrick do? There are worse questions that could drive coverage in the next 2 to 3 months.
Are you insinuating that the current people, McCarrick is, where is he, holed away someplace in Missouri, if I'm not mistaken?
Kansas. He's in western Kansas. And you know the old saying, diamonds are forever. Diamonds are not forever. Kansas is forever. And he's at a cathedral in the middle of and monastery in the middle of West Kansas. I've driven right past it on an interstate. You can see it coming, the Cathedral of the Plains. You can see it coming from like 30, 40 miles away.
Are you insinuating that what the end result of this summit next month will be, it will be as though Cardinal McCarrick were still running things?
Well, I'm saying, quite bluntly, that many of the people closest to McCarrick during his years of greatest power, several of them are in charge of the summit and are in charge of events happening right now. In other words, the structures, I mean, if you go back to the stories about McCarrick and you look at the names in Rome and in very, very important cathedral thrones here in America, McCarrick 2.0, to some degree, in terms of protection of the network, is still very much with us.
What should media consumers want to hear and even demand to hear from the media about the upcoming summit?
Well, first of all, they shouldn't expect much for the simple reason that when you're dealing at the international level, Rome and the Vatican is not subject to subpoenas or anything. There's nothing you can do to force Rome to even, like say, give out the papers that Archbishop Vigano famously would say would prove his case. You can't subpoena the embassy in D.C. You can't roll up in front of the Vatican and say, come out, come out. But several questions. You're going to see over and over about the scandal with children. I would ask for more content on the ages of the people involved in the actual abuse. the word that I always look for in a story about the current controversy, besides looking for the name of McCarrick, if McCarrick is somehow still mentioned, or has McCarrick been forgotten and sent off to Western Kansas, where he could probably die in a couple of months or so. He's not because he was offed or something, but because he's elderly. The seminaries continue to be a crucial question. And when you see, I mean, the most spectacular sins of McCarrick were linked to very, very Catholic content situations. I mean, here's a cardinal or a bishop abusing seminarians whose careers are completely in his hands. Now, here in just the last couple of days, we finally have seen formalized what people have talked about for a long time, which was that McCarrick appears to have been abused young men in confession, in the acts of confession. That's got to be a canonical law violation, not to mention secular law. That's got to break every conceivable sacramental law in the book to actively sexually abuse a young man in confession. So I would ask about seminaries. I would continue to ask about the networking surrounding McCarrick. In other words, when we looked at the details of the McCarrick scandal, who were the names most frequently connected and associated with McCarrick? The questions that I've heard asked is on three levels that go back for decades. Who brought McCarrick to power? Who shared power with McCarrick? And who did McCarrick then bring to power? Does that make sense? It's like three generations. So look for the names and ask lots of questions about that. I would then stress again, never forget that this is not strictly an issue of the Catholic left or the Catholic right. Everybody needs to be asked a bunch of tough questions and try to get the "we love Francis, we love the progressives, we love what's good for the sexual revolution," in our opinion, as progressive Americans or journalists or whatever. We want to see what we want to see. Try to forget that and ask a lot of hard questions to conservatives and Catholic liberals alike.
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's also founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you so much for your time.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we're going to be looking forward to the church's celebration of the Epiphany of our Lord. Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. Then a little later, an hour or two of Issues, Etc., we will review the movie Aquaman with Pastor Ted Geese.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2019? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Christ Community International. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
The recent unprecedented decline in American Christianity has been well documented. But what can we as Lutherans do about it? This question is at the heart of the Lutheran Witness's January issue on missions and evangelism. Start to finish, readers will encounter faith, courage, conviction, and the assurance that, as Victor Raj puts it, in the church, ministry and mission always go together. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Concordia University Chicago's music programs will support your aspirations, whether you want to pursue a professional career in music or simply improve your skills. Experience a wide variety of musical learning and performance in a Christian environment. Auditions for music scholarships will be held February 9th, 16th, and 18th, open to both music majors and non-majors. Admitted students register today by logging into connect.cuchicago.edu.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.